Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exist to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
Good morning, and hoping you are all staying safe and healthy and washing your hands. If you would, please open up your Bibles with me to the very end of 2 Timothy. If you're listening at home and you do not have a Bible, there are many websites and apps that you can use to read the Bible from your computer, from your tablet, or from your phone. If you do not own one and would like a physical copy of the Bible, get a hold of us here at Bangor Community Church, and we will make sure to get one to you. So today, we come to an end of Paul's letters to Timothy. We come, in fact, to an end of Paul's recorded letters, period. These are the last words that we have record of Paul speaking or writing. At some point shortly after this letter, Paul would stand trial before Caesar. He would be found guilty, and history says that he was beheaded at this point. Paul knew that this was coming. He wrote these letters to Timothy to encourage, to challenge, to teach, and to warn Timothy. So, Timothy, beware of those who are in and will come into the church, teaching what is not in and what goes against the Bible. Many will be led astray. Teach and preach the truth. Structure and format the church as it's supposed to be by God's creation. Stand firm in the faith and stand up to those who oppose you, the truth, and ultimately who oppose God himself. Our behavior, our faithfulness, and our steadfastness during these times and all the way up to the end will be a great testimony to those watching and will be the good fruit born from our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our only means of salvation. So Paul is done teaching at this point of the letter, though he does have, as with many of his letters, greetings and instructions for Timothy as he closes out his letter. Let's go ahead and read this morning's passage together, 2 Timothy verses 9 through the end of the letter, verse 22. I will be reading out of the English Standard Version. I encourage you to have in your hands your preferred translation and follow along both here and throughout the sermon as we read God's word. Paul, in the last recorded words of his life, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes to Timothy. He says, "Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, Paul knows what time it is. Both of these letters were written when Paul was either imprisoned or under house arrest. He knew ahead of time, as we looked at last week, what the result of the upcoming trial was going to be. And Paul wants to see Timothy one more time before he dies. One of the things that we see with Paul and the progression that takes place over the course of his letters is we can be assured of what comes after this life. We can know that we are going to be with Christ in the kingdom of heaven, and we can be assured of our salvation. We can have pure trust in God's perfect timing. We can have true, pure, and complete joy, trust, and longing to see Jesus, and we can be ready to go home with him, and yet we can still have things that we want to happen first. We can still have things that we wish could have been different. And we can still have things that we wish we could have done. For Paul, one of those things is that he wishes to see Timothy before he passes. Now, we have no biblical evidence that Timothy did or did not make it to Rome to see Paul. Personally, I hope he did, but I suspect that he didn't. We can see how much Paul wants this by looking back on chapter 1 of this letter, where Paul says in verse 4 that he longs to see Timothy. Now, there are also some that Paul does not long to see. Many deserted him during his previous and current troubles, his imprisonments and whatnot. Demas is an example here. Paul says that he is more in love with this world than the world to come. We have to be very careful about that. Love of this world and the trappings of it can be very persuasive, very seductive. And yet, what does the wisdom of man, the success of money and influence, the love of human beings, what does it have when compared to the glory of the sovereign and almighty God and all the riches and glory that is to be revealed? And yet many choose this world over the next. And then when the going gets tough, they hightail it away and they look for their comforts. I shared the quote a few weeks ago, but it bears repeating here. Vodi Bakum says that there is one way to avoid persecution in this world. You don't have to worry about persecution if you choose this way out of it. He says all you have to do is compromise. And that's what Demas did. Persecution came, things got tough, he compromised and he left, and he loved this world over the next. Jesus, during his parable of the sower, talks of two of the four seeds. He talks about in Mark 4, verses 5 through 7. He says, "Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain." Jesus explains these two seeds a few verses later, Mark chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. He said, "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." We are to focus on what is to come. We are to grow our roots, to build our foundation upon the word of God. We are to respond to, and we are to acknowledge what is going on around us. A great example is this pandemic going on around us today. That's why I put up on the church sign down by the road. It just says simply, "Be safe, wash your hands, trust Jesus." To totally ignore what is going on in the world would be not only irresponsible and unloving to our neighbors, but it would be unbiblical as well. But our focus and our eyes are to be on the Lord. There's an old saying that you can be so heavenly minded as to be no earthly good. But in reality, that's simply not true. To be truly heavenly minded, to be focused on the glory of God that will be revealed, and focused on the truth and the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, one can't help but to do good here on earth. That is the fruit that will be born through true saving faith. Demas was not heavenly minded. He was very much earthly minded, and he left Paul during his time of need. He left him in the lurch. But Paul also acknowledges that not all who left necessarily did so under poor terms. Titus, for example, left Paul, and he went on to pastor the churches on Crete, as history tells us. And we know that Paul wrote in between these letters to Timothy the letter to Titus, which if you're looking at your Bible at 2 Timothy, at the last verses, the very next page is a letter to Titus. So we know that Titus didn't leave on poor terms. And Paul tells us in verse 11 that it is only Luke, his friend and his physician, his traveling partner, who is still physically with him. He's been traveling with Paul for a long, long time at this point. He has been recording Paul's ministry and his missionary travels, which have turned into two-thirds of the last two-thirds of the book of Acts. He's been investigating, researching, and learning the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, turning that into the gospel of Luke, and following and investigating the story of the spread of the gospel even before Paul, which was the first third of the book of Acts. He has been loyal and faithful to Paul, taking care of him as has been needed. We talked last week about how we are to finish our race. But one application we can take from these couple of verses is that when others are finishing their race, let us be Luke and not Demas. Let us stay faithful and show loyalty. Let us bring comfort to those whose race is ending. Paul surprisingly asks Timothy to bring Mark with him when he comes to see Paul. Mark and Paul were traveling and ministering together early on in Paul's missions, but they split after a disagreement. Barnabas chose to go with Mark, so Barnabas left Paul at that point as well. What we see here is that reconciliation either already had or more likely was going to occur. Paul wanted to make things right and to make sure things were reconciled before or while there was still time. If Timothy never made it to see Paul, then it stands to reason that Mark never made it there either. And so despite Paul's desire to reconcile, there was not enough time left. So we can learn, do not wait until the last minute. Do not wait until the finality of our mortality weighs on you. But reconcile with things with the people you know and love and do it now. Because you never know if tomorrow will come. We do see here that Paul, towards the end, is still thinking practically as well. And still thinking of the gospel. In verse 13, he tells Timothy to bring his cloak, expecting to need it during the cold winter that was approaching. He also says to bring his books and his parchments. Now, these could be blank parchments, meaning that Paul was planning on writing more letters, continuing to teach and spread the gospel. Or these could be his copies of the Old Testament writings. And he wanted to comfort himself and to continue to study the very word of God. Either way, one of the things that we see here is that Paul knew the end was coming, but he didn't know when. He didn't expect it to be tomorrow. And he was not going to just roll over and wait for it to come. He was going to keep living, keep working, and studying right up until the very last minute. Now, verse 14 seems to show the opposite of what Paul had to say about Mark. With Mark, there was a separation and then at least an intended reconciliation, if not a full reconciliation, which means that there was some repentance there, probably on both sides of Paul and Mark. Here, we see that Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to Paul, and that there was no repentance because Paul warns that he will do the same to Timothy if he gets the chance. And I want to point out here a key difference, not in eternal destination, but possibly in heart and potential repentance and reconciliation. Demas also left Paul when Paul needed him. But Alexander seems to have actively opposed Paul and the message of the gospel. Alexander was more direct and purposeful in his actions against Paul. Demas seems to have just fallen away. And to me, reading into what Paul is saying, if Demas repented and came back tomorrow, Paul would be open to reconciliation. It doesn't seem as if Paul sees any chance of that with Alexander. And that's something to remember. There are different levels of involvement that people can have in your life. Not everyone has to have full access to your life. Even in these situations that Paul is mentioning, we see a variety of levels of forgiveness or potential forgiveness. Mark is back in, or will be, if they meet together, back in Paul's life and useful to the ministry. Demas is not, but there's an open door making that a possibility. If Alexander were to repent and ask forgiveness, I think we know that Paul would forgive him. But I don't think, the way I read this, that Paul would open up his life or ministry to have Alexander anywhere near them. Forgiveness is required from us, but that does not mean that we have to allow people who have hurt us in the past to be in a position to hurt us again. Forgiveness does not mean that we automatically forget. If you need to keep someone out of your life, even after forgiveness and reconciliation occur, you can do just that. Now, we remember that this is Paul's second Roman imprisonment and his second trial. And he mentions that during his first trial, he was all alone. Everyone had left him. They scattered, though Paul asks that it not be held against them. Well, why? Because God had designed it that way, and he had a purpose. You know, there are very strong allusions here to Jesus on the cross. The apostles, his followers at the time, they scattered and they went underground. Jesus was alone during his trials. And then only John, the disciple whom he loved, and his mother Mary were there with him while he was on the cross. Jesus did not hold this against any of them, and he welcomed them all when he rose and appeared to them again. Jesus knew that the Father had a purpose for all these things. Paul was lonely during that time, but he trusted God. And now, years later, he could see what God had been doing in that situation. I know that right now things can feel very lonely. We are cut off from each other at this moment in ways that we have not had to be before. Trust that God has a plan. Trust that this will all work together for his plan and his glory. Through all of that, Paul says, the Lord never abandoned me. God is clear on this throughout all Scripture, from the Old Testament on through the New. Joshua 1:9, one of my favorites, says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And in the New Testament, Matthew 28, the very last words of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So why did God allow Paul to be put through all this? Simply, he used it so that the gospel would continue to be spread and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would continue to be spread and worshiped. God brought Paul through all those circumstances to glorify himself. Paul says that God brought him through all those tough situations and brought him right into his arms and his kingdom. R.C. Sproul points out that this is the ultimate hope of all who trust in Christ. All of this, all things, including our salvation, our sanctification, and our glorification, all of these things are done and happen to the glory of God. In the Latin, it is sole Deo gloria. In the last couple of verses here, from verse 19 on, Paul closes the letter how he closes most of his letters. Sends greetings to those around the one he is writing to. He sends greetings from those who are around him. That's how he closes his letters. Greetings and love to all those mentioned. And finally, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. God gives and pours out his grace on us. It is only through his grace that we have faith in Jesus Christ. It is only through his grace that we are saved. It is only through his grace that we have received the forgiveness of sins purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, and the glory be to God. There are a bunch of minor points that we've touched on this morning. But if you take away only one point from Paul's conclusion to 2 Timothy, know this, meditate on this, and remember this. The grace that is with you is purely from and is a gift from God. And all of the credit for all things go to God. He has a plan. He implements it. And all of it is done for His glory. All the glory goes to God. We don't always see it. We might not see it right now. We may not see it in the future, but we have the assurance that God works all things together and nothing, not one single thing, will happen in this world without God allowing it to happen. Not one single atom or bacteria or germ can move outside of the will of God. For those of us that believe, that trust in God, what a beautiful thought. What a wonderful reminder. What an ease of burden and of worry. What glorious knowledge that we don't have to worry about anything, that God has this all in His hands. Sole Deo Gloria. Let us pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You for the letters that Paul wrote that we have in the Scriptures today. I thank You for the circumstances that You brought him through, for the words that You had him write. Lord, I thank You for giving us the assurance of Your sovereignty so we can look around this world today and we can see the seriousness of the things going on around us, that sin brought disease into this world, and it is a serious thing. But Lord, we thank You that we know that all of it has a purpose, that all of it is done to Your glory. Lord, You have offered Your Son as salvation through Your grace. Grace be to You. Grace comes through You. And all the glory to You. Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for Your word and Your comfort and Your peace. We pray health upon those that are listening, that You would protect them from what is going on around us, from COVID-19. Lord, and just pray that You keep us connected in other ways. Thank You for technology, that we are able to still listen and record and read and phone and different ways of connecting. Lord, we thank You for all the blessings that You've given us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR. Community Church, CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyhalenchuk.com. That's caseyhalenchuk.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyhalenchuk.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.